Okay, we're still holding here in Sivan Reish Mem Beis, Lizar to Kovet Shabbos. Just as a Hakdama, there is a mitzvah of Kovet Shabbos, there is a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. The Gemara learns Mesechas Shabbos of Kuf Yud Ches on the base from the Pasuk Yishaya, V'karas B'Shabbos Oneg, V'chulei V'chdosh Hashem V'chuba, there's a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos and a mitzvah of Kovet Shabbos. The Pasuk says these are Dinim Drabanan, they're learned from a Pasuk in Navi. Some want to say that they're really deraisa, they're just inspired Shem Leneviim. But the halacha, I think we usually assume they're Drabanan. What do they mean? So the Pasuk says Kavod means to respect Shabbos, and Oneg means to enjoy Shabbos. It's a different word, different concept. The Vilna Gaon, Miskarov, thought that it's a question of when it's done, that before Shabbos you do Kavod, and on Shabbos you do Oneg. Everything before is Kavod, everything on is Oneg, but that's not the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that really a person on Shabbos can be Mechavid Shabbos, and also can be Oneg Shabbos. So the question is, let's say, Hadlakas Neir Shabbos, maybe lighting candles, it shows that it's a nice meal, it's Kavod, and also experiencing the eating with the candles can be a key of Oneg Shabbos. In any case, the Mishura points out here that this mitzvah on Shabbos is an important mitzvah, and we should try to have a nice food on Shabbos, or whatever you like. There's no objective halacha. It's brought down fish as being, you know, a mila. Some people don't like fish. If you don't like fish, you don't have to force yourself to eat fish. It's not oneg for you. The Mishnah Berurah also says that it's good to have two dishes at every meal. So if you're in the dish to the challah, you should have, you know, most of us have many dishes, but at least two dishes, which is more than a weekday meal. A weekday meal might have just bread and one dish, and you have two dishes. There's actually some achronim who speak. Some achronim say you should have fish every meal. So you don't know if you kabbalah to have fish, but there are actually some achronim who write the dafka by yom, because the kavod yom is kodem the kavod laila. So you have something special for day. So if you like fish, so keep it for day, or whatever you like. If you like ice cream, keep it for the day. There's an inyan that the day meal should be nicer than the. Some people, it's fakir, in some homes at night they bring out the china, they flay shakes, in the daytime they eat on plastic and they have, like, you know, dairy. That's not appropriate. Really, the day meal is supposed to be more mechuvid than the night meal, but both meals are supposed to be mechuvid. So it's good to eat with real kalim and have a nice mechuvid meal. And it's
called. Does this mean cooked or locked down?
I think so, yeah. Cooked. So we're holding in Reish Mem Beis. It's a similar question, you know, by Shalach Monos. Can you give, like, an apple? Is an apple mana, or is that cooked?
Or
tuna fish. Tuna fish is cooked.
Tuna fish is cooked.
Yeah, it's not raw. I mean, sushi is raw. But, you ask, what about sushi? Because would sushi count as one of the tafshilim? It's not cooked. It's certainly a nice food. For people who like it, but maybe tafshil means cooked. I would think it means cooked, but I don't know, it's an interesting question. I'm not sure. Maybe tafshil just means here something that's mechubit. So sushi is mechubit, so that would count as a tafshil. It's possible. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, afilu mi shetzarech acherim, even a person who is poor, in yesh lo ma'at mishol tzarech lazaris atzmo, l'chavi es ha-shavis. A person who is poor, if he has enough, he doesn't take tzedakah, he should try to spend a little extra on Shabbos. It could be a little extra. Not being in tzedakah l'kavrios is very important. A person who's really, really poor, so not taking tzedakah is a very important value. Again, if you need it, you have to take it. But for a person who can make do without taking tzedakah, so self-respect is very important, and it's better not to take tzedakah. Even if it means that Shabbos is going to be exactly like the weekdays. But for most people, even if they're poor, they can, you know, find a few extra shkalim, a few extra dollars to make Shabbos a little extra. So if a person is very poor, it's best not to take tzedakah, even if it means making Shabbos chol. But if he has a little extra money, so he should, you know, spend an extra dollar on Shabbos, make Shabbos a little bit nicer. If a person already has to take tzedakah, so then he should also spend money on Shabbos. It's legitimate. Once he's taking tzedakah, so also take tzedakah Shabbos, make Shabbos nicer as well. Even if it means he's going to take more. Meaning, once he's taking, so we say taking for tzedakah Shabbos is considered a legitimate legitimate need. Very few people in our day and age live on such a base level. Meaning, there are people who take tzedakah, there are people who don't take tzedakah, but there are very few people who are in that middle ground. But that would be, you know, if it exists, that's the halacha, that you would not take more in order, not take any stock in order to, even if Shabbos is like chol, and if you were able to get another dollar, so v'chavi Shabbos at bedavar muat. Poskim have a discussion about when the sellers, you know, have a monopoly and they raise the prices, not in a fair way. Suddenly they know the Jews want fish, so they're going to charge an exorbitant amount of money for the fish. So Mishum Tikkun Olam, the poskim say, the whole kehila should boycott the fish until they lower the prices. We were discussing before the shir, the Shmuel, Chazal say that a kol hotzos sh'olam is taken care of, chusmi hotzos is muchtav on Rosh Hashanah, except for hotzos Shabbos and skar Talmud Torah for their children. So you don't take that ma'amar chazal kapshuta. Meaning, according to, if you took a kapshuta, you'd say, okay, they're charging exorbitant amount of money, no problem. $100 a fish, no problem, Hashem will provide. We don't say that. We say we're going to boycott the fish market until they lower the prices, because it's hard to imagine that Maimon Chazal should be taken kipshuto. It means that you should stretch yourself for Shabbos. It doesn't mean you should book a hotel every Shabbos and say, oh, Mistama, it'll work out. I don't think that's an appropriate thing to do. This idea of Takanah Chazal in the close-knit community works, meaning if you live in a city, it doesn't really work. If you live in a shtetl, it works. Or even if you live in a city, if you're the Ger Chasidim, they have these tekanas. Like, the chasn, they can't have more than X many people. And it actually works, but you have to have a close-knit community for everybody to listen. I was hoping after Corona, so the standards of chasnas and sivchas would be changed, but unfortunately, it hasn't changed very much. But okay. You know, it's unfortunate. People go into debt to not part. This is it. The Mechaber continues, Takanah of Ezra, Takanah of Ezra, Shehi Mechabsim, Begadi, Bechamishim, Beshavis, Mechaber Shavis. One of Ezra's Takanahs, mentioned in the Gemara in Baba Kama, Rafebez, is to do laundry on Thursday. Do laundry on Thursday, so you'll have clothes for Shavis. So the Mechok Achronim debate whether there's a Mamash on Mitzvah to do laundry on Thursday, it just means you should have clean clothes for Shavis. Now, Afghina for us, because most of us, it doesn't take us a day to do laundry. You can do laundry on Wednesday. You'll have a lot of clothes. You still have clothes for Shabbos. You have more than two shirts. Likewise, even Friday, is there an Easter to do laundry on Friday? Because it's going to have a takeaway from your covered Shabbos. You're going to, instead of making the schnitzel, you're going to be involved with the laundry. Maybe that's true when people spent a lot of time with the laundry. Today, you put it in, you press the button, shine, it's done. So the folks can hold them, Ikra Din. Really, there's no special takana to do laundry on Thursday. There are some who say this, it's extra covered Shabbos to do on Thursday. But I think the halacha, we assume there's no need to do laundry on Thursday. The ikra is to have clean clothing for Shabbos. And likewise, if you want to do laundry on Friday, certainly if you're planning on using it on Friday, even if you have a dryer. If you don't have a dryer, it's going to hang it. It'll only be ready Sunday. So then it's pashas, it's better not to, because if you need to, you're leaving once the Shabbos, it's mutter. But it's better not to do the extra things on Friday that you don't need. You need to show people work on Sunday. So Friday's the day off, so people take care of things. So you have to take care of things. At the same time, you also have to get ready for Shabbos. You can't do siturim the whole time. You're in the bank, you're doing laundry, then you don't have time to cover Shabbos. So the poskim say that if you don't need to do laundry on Friday, it's better not to. But if you need it for Shabbos, then certainly it's mutter. And even if you need it for after Shabbos, if you're stuck, it's mutter. It's even mutter to turn on your dryer. The wash comes out 10 minutes before Shabbos starts. You put the clothes in the dryer, turn it on. Is that mutter? Some poskim are concerned that you're making noise on Shabbos and it just takes away from covered Shabbos. It's true, it does take away, but Mikra Din, if you're stuck, it's mutter. If it's a tzara, it's actually mutter to do that as well. And sometimes people are traveling and, you know, the person comes back from the army, so he has to wash his madim. Most of Shabbos is going back to the base, so what are you going to do? He has to wash his clothing, so then it's mutter, etc. Okay. Now, what does it mean to have clean clothes for Shabbos? Do you send your suit to the laundromat every week? I don't. assumption, I think, is that your clothes are clean, meaning a suit, if you clean it every 4 months, every whatever it is, every 3 months, that's sufficient, depending on how you wear it, I guess. If the clothes are considered clean, that's fine. If the clothes, taka, are dirty, so that's wrong. It's a bit of takanas ezra. You shouldn't wear dirty clothes on Shabbos. What happens if only you forgot? You have a suit that has a small stain on it, or you can wear your vachada clothing. What's better? So I was thinking, it might be tale in what your vachada clothes look like. Meaning my weekday clothes are pretty much like my Shabbos clothes. It's very hard to tell the difference. So for me, to wear my weekday jacket on Shabbos, you know, if there's no stain, and the Shabbos jacket has a stain, maybe it would be more covered Shabbos. For my kids who wear, color clothing on the weekdays, the Shabbos who wear white, so it's more knicker. It would probably be more appropriate, I would think, if you're stuck, to wear a Shabbos shirt that has, you know, one stain on it, than to wear a colored, you know, t-shirt. It's not covered Shabbos, wear a t-shirt. So I didn't see it discussed, but a person should try to make sure that their clothing is clean. You don't have to send your suits to the cleaner, you can probably just clean it with a wipe. Meaning, not every stain needs to be, but your clothes should be clean for Shabbos. It's kind of Ezra.
Is there a difference between white clothing? What if somebody is looking for Shabbos just to wear, let's say, a color button-down shirt?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, in certain communities, it's like that. Every community has their standards. I don't think there's anything special about in Kabbalah, there's something special about white. The Kabbalah wear everything white on Shabbos. But then those people aren't makban on that, and whatever is makubal in your belt. In America, wearing light pants is not so makubal. Here, it depends on certain communities. It's during the week they wear jeans, and on Shabbos they wear khakis. That's covered Shabbos. There's no. It's not less covered Shabbos as long as it's unique and special for Shabbos. That's the word. Okay. The Ramah continues. There's a minhag to make chalas, to make a lot of chalas, to have a shir chala. V'hu mikavod Shabbos yontif. He says mikavod Shabbos, in l'shanas. Right. So I guess the way the Gro would read this is that the kavod Shabbos is to make them, and when you eat them, it's onik Shabbos. Okay. Either way, there's a concept of having homemade bread. The fashion is it tastes better. You know, you take the homemade bread, it tastes good. So it's onik Shabbos. It's kavod Shabbos.
Also, it's
kosher
for some
passes. Oh, but the Magen Avraham points out, Shmuel's pointing out that from the Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi sounds like there's eating vitara. The whole week. You should eat betara. What does that mean? So some understand that it's talking about Aseret Tshuva. The whole week means the week of Aseret Tshuva. On Yom Kippur you don't eat anyway. And Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos, so the week of the weekdays, you know, there's an Indian, people who grew up in Chutz Laaretz know that on Pas Yisrael, even if you're not makom the whole year, during Aseret Tshuva you're makom Pas Yisrael. Here in Yisrael, everything's Pas Yisrael. It's hard to find Pas Akor. Pas Yisrael. But Lemaisa, according to that understanding, basically what emerges is that it's a shayla how many days Rosh Hashanah they kept then. If they kept one day Rosh Hashanah, so how do you get 7 days? It's 10 days. So not Yom Kippur, not Rosh Hashanah, not Shabbos, because on Shabbos you don't eat Pasachim. That's how it's the Achronim understand the Yerushalmi. Again, if they kept 2 days Rosh Hashanah, then the whole cheshbon doesn't work out. But assuming they kept 1 day Rosh Hashanah, so the Achronim on the Dayek and the Yerushalmi, that you're not supposed to eat Pas Akum. When I say Pas Akum, I mean Pas Palter. Pas Akum is mamish, the bread that your neighbor made. That's for sure treif. But if you buy it from the baker, you don't know Mr. Wonder. So you're not going to marry his daughter, even if she's wonderful. But your neighbor, you might marry your daughter, so you don't have to eat your neighbor's bread. But a Palter, big company, you don't know who the person is, you're not going to marry their daughter. So some Rishonim hold that you're allowed to eat Pas Palta. That was a minute in Ashkenaz. So there are others who are machme, that's the idea of Pas Yisrael. They want to have Dafka, a Jew who made the bread. Even though you don't know who they are, you're not going to marry their daughter. In any case, there is a Shaila Lahalacha, how to learn this Ramah. The Pash is the Ramah, it just didn't cover Shabbos. It tastes good, but there's no issue of eating Pas Palta on Shabbos. The Achronim assume that according to the Ramah, there's an Isri Pas Palter on Shabbos, and that's a big enough Mina Halacha. they asked, I think, Rabbi Ganak, how come you don't write on the bread? I don't know if Wonder Bread is under whoever the bread is, the Goyish bread. You should write kosher for weekday consumption. So he said, it's too complicated. Really, he holds, like, the Mishnah Berurah that really you can't eat paspalto on Shabbos, but it's just too complicated. And he said that Taka, there once was a company that wanted to make challahs, a non-Jewish company, they wanted to make challahs. And the OU wouldn't give them hashkacha on it, because challahs are miyuchad for there's a day actually in Achronim that maybe it's just in Lecha Mishnah. Just in Lecha Mishnah shouldn't be passed out. Lemaisa is a big issue when it comes to Entamin's Kiddushes. People, Chutzlaret, some people don't Chal Yisrael. They're not careful about Pas Yisrael, Chal Yisrael, so they'll eat Entamin's cakes. So in some students, you know, colleges, they have Entamin's Kiddush. Is that Mutter? So if you hold that there's the Isra of Pas Palter on Shabbos, and you hold that Pas Palter applies not only to bread, but to all cakes, which is something that people are machmer for usually in a Sesame Tshuva, so then it would be inappropriate to eat, you know, entomins on Shabbos. There are places where they're making, I guess they assume that either the ikur, like for the Ramah, is dim kavah Shabbos, there's no such isra at all. Or even if it is such isra, it's only an isra by bread, or it's only an isra for Lecha Mishnah, and having a kiddush with these cakes is allowed. So there are different days, Khan Lakan. Like I said, the OU thinks that it, certainly for bread, it's aser. I think even for cakes, I think they're machmir, that if you'd ask them, they would tell you not to. That's the psak of Mishnah Berurah, that's the conventional psak, but there are those who are makel. Yeah?
What is this again? What would this be like? The
Sharish? The Yerushalmi says that you should be careful to eat your tara 7 days. What does tara mean? It means you should eat Seres Mitzvah for 7 days. Seres Mitzvah is 10 days.
Right.
No, but they wouldn't eat on Shabbos anyway. So that's the assumption. It's an inference from the Yerushalmi. It's not the strongest diuk, and it's not the strongest shita, but the Sharatzi is machriya and Osir Ches that even in the rest of the meal, it's not just for Lecha Mishnah, it's for the whole meal. And like I said, many assume that cakes have the din of pas. And if that's the case, you put it all together, so you shouldn't eat entomins on Shabbos. Somebody told me Rabbi Simon from YU is Meikel, he said it's mutter to eat these cakes. On Shabbos, but from the Mishnah Berurah comes out that would be us. Yeah.
What does it mean, the aimless Shanos? I mean, a person has to every week at
the. It's the appropriate thing to do. You shouldn't change it. The Be'er Halacha has an interesting discussion about this new minhag that people buy from the bakery. They don't make challahs at home, and it's a terrible thing. Today, most of us buy challahs from the bakery. The assumption is it's more covered Shabbos to make it at home. Maybe it's also more tasty. In our day and age, usually the bakeries are very high quality. It tastes very good. I don't know what it's like then. They look nice. I don't know if they probably look nice. I don't know if they taste as good.
The bakeries for sure make mafresh challah. A person making like a small batch of challah, but I think mafresh
challah. Right. The idea of the mafresh challah, it seems like the mafresh challah, it's not just challah. The Yerushalmi and Megillah sounds like you should make a lot of challah because you'll give it to the poor people. It's not. And when you mafresh challah, it means you made a lot. It's like a simon. It's not that the mafresh challah per se is the issue. It's that when you make a lot, you have extra to give to the poor people, and then you also be mafresh challah. So there are people who are makbid. Somebody told me, I don't know if it's true, Rav Neuvert lives here in Baivigan, and somebody told me that in his ksuba, it was written that his wife would make challahs every week, except for Shabbos HaGadol, and except for after she had a baby. I don't know, it's a hard thing to find out. But there is a yakisha. Sometimes the Tanayim and the Ksuba, I don't know, that's what I heard. I don't know, it's hard to verify, but there are people who are very mocked about this.
Sheer challah or just not make challah?
I'm not sure. I don't know. In any case, there are people who are very mocked about this. But I think the minhag is to buy bakeries, and we consider that to be kavod shavus, etc. Okay, the Rama continues, and he says, "V'yesh shakas v'miksus v'komos nagul le'echol mulisa shakorid pashtida v'la shavus zeichu l'man she'muchus l'mayla l'mata." For the ra'iti lachush l'zeh, there was a minhag that you heard of, you didn't see, that you would eat a food that was covered, some type of egg roll. Has because the man was covered bottom and top with shichvas tal, so you eat the food that's covered. I saw some of them say that our kugel is the equivalent. I don't know, our kugel isn't covered. I don't know what you have raisins in the kugel. I don't know. I wasn't exactly clear on that, but some people like want to hold on to minhagim. So, but there is such a minhag that I know a family who dafka on Erev Yom Kippur, Hashanah Rabbah, and Purim. They eat the krevluch, and they give this hesper. That krevluch, it's the meat is covered. So these are special days. They're unique days. It looks like a regular day, but really it's like a mixas yontif, Hashanah Rabba, Purim. So my aunt has this midag when you go there for Purim, so she always serves krevluch and she stands over this fort. So there's such a midag.
So but, when you hit yourself, when you hit something,
okay. That's, I would take care of Erev Kippur and Shana Rav. What about Purim?
No, I'm Purim the hit Taman.
Oh, the Klaf Taman. Okay. 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 Nice. Nice. Okay.
The meaning is it's just that it's expression.
Okay.
Don't we already have a Zecher Laman from the way that we have
the way we cover to the Chala is also Zecher Laman. Okay, it's another Zecher. Why not? And also the Lechem Mishnah Zecher Laman, meaning you cover it, so people put a cover at the bottom. That's a question. Are you makbid? Some people are makbid to have a plate under the challahs, a bottom covering, like a special bottom covering. Meaning, most anyway, you have a challah board. But let's leave Surah, you have like two challahs on a table, you know, the Kiddush in the yeshiva. So some people are careful to put a plate under the challahs. It should be covered with lamala lamata, zecher latal, that was a kind of covering, lamala u lumat. Okay. Let's move on to Simon Reish Mem Gimel. The Masker Sado Merchas and Yehudi. The next five or six simanim deal with Amir La'akum. These aren't such easy simanim to learn. They are nogeya. They are nogeya l'maisa. More for business people, but even not for business people. So we're going to try to do them, but it's not. There's more here than what we're going to do. So if you have a real life shaila, you have to ma'ayin in the details. So just as a background, Chazal asked Rami Lachah, even though in Shabbos, in a Torah, it seems like, go ahead and do Malacha for me, I can ask go to Malacha. But the Chazal asked a Jew to tell a Goy to do Malacha on Shabbos. In the Mechilta of Zedrasha, call Malacha Lasase, it includes telling Eino Yehudi. Again, some assume that's the Drasha's right, so the Pashas didn't Rabbanan. There are three explanations given the Rishonim for Amir Lachum. The Rambam writes that it's Nasar Kadeshaleah Shabbos Kal Be'enov. If a person asks a goy to turn on the light, he might turn on the light on his own. He's going to think Shabbos is not such a big deal. Oh, there's no goy, I'll turn around myself. It's like some type of gezeirah like that. Rashi, in two places, says two different explanations. Rashi in Shabbos writes that it's in shlichus. Even though there's no shlichus for a goy, in a Torah, but Midrash Rabbanan is like shlichus. When I tell him to light, it's as if I'm lighting. It's a form of shlichus. And Rashi in Avodah Zarah writes that it's been daver daver, that speaking about malacha is inappropriate. It's not only wrong to do malacha, but daver daver, you shouldn't even speak about malacha. So I can't tell him to turn on the light. Turn on the light is a malacha. And we're machmir for all these reasons, that they're nafkamina. So for example, if I would tell a goy before Shabbos to turn on the light on Shabbos, so there's no daver daver, because I'm not talking on Shabbos. But yet we're still machmir, we say it's aser. Or, in the opposite case, on Shabbos, I tell the goy to do malacha on Sunday. I say, come to me Sunday morning and, you know, help me light the fire on Sunday. So I'm talking to him on Shabbos, that's davar davar. But there's no shlichus, the goy is only going to do it on Sunday morning. So we're machan for all these different opinions, all these explanations for this issur. So that's like the background. A lot of these simanim dealing with goyim, and the Amir La'akum is like the background. I should add that even if the goy is doing malacha without me asking, sometimes asr banav, a goy did a malacha for me, he sees it's dark and he sees I can't see, so he turns the light for me and he's not nana from it, he's doing it just for me, so then there's a isr hana on the malacha. There's simanim to deal with this. We're not going to discuss it, you know, even after Shabbos you have to wait kadesh yasu until you can be nana from malacha's goy on Shabbos.
Who says the first reason that if you tell a goy, maybe you'll come through yourself?
The Rambam Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Hey, Perek Vav, Halach Aleph. If a goy is doing a malacha in my house, I have to stop him. You know, I'm not supposed to allow a goy to do malacha with my belongings. Meaning, I can't tell a goy to take my car and drive it, even though he's driving for his own purposes. I can tell a goy to take his car and drive it. Because if it's for his own purposes. Okay, there are details we're not going to get into right now. Now, this siman deals with a Jew who has a business, and he wants to run the business on Shabbos. So are you allowed to have your business being run? You have a non-Jewish employee, Chris. He's going to open up. I'm not going to be in shul all day, but Chris is going to open up my store, and he's going to sell, and he's going to close the store. Is that permitted or not? So there's a chiluk here between how Chris is paid. If I pay Chris by the hour or by the day, he's my worker. So it's my store. He's my worker. He's not the bailiff. But if he works on a commission, he's working for himself. So let's say I tell him, listen, it's my store. I want you to be in charge. You'll take 50% of the profits. So then he can open the store on Shabbos because he's opening the store. It's al-das atzma. So we're going to see soon there's also marzayin issues, but that's a fundamental distinction. The schiras, a person is just working for you, he's your shaliach, and it's usher for him to open the store. If he's working al-das atzma, so then he's an aris, so then it's permitted for him to open. I still can't tell him, you know, to go open it, but if he does it, it's mutter.
An aris is different than a shutfus, like he owns the income of that day or all the games. You own it 6 days a week. He owns it.
Oh, that's a different hatter. That's a different hatter. That's a hatter of, like, you know, selling your business for Shabbos. We're going to get to that soon. But I'm talking about an aris. That's something with fields. People have, you know, a field. They don't want to work the field. So they say, tell this guy, you're Mr. Aris. You work the field. And you'll take 50% of the profits. So he can work on Shabbos. Because it's my field, but he's doing it all that's possible. If I hire a laborer to work in the field, pay him by the week, by the month, it's also for him to work in the field because he's really working for me. Okay. So let's begin reading this siman. Maybe a little more hakdamas. I feel bad. There's so many hakdamas here, but there's just so. There's a concept called skar shavis. Skar shavis means that you're not supposed to gain from business on Shabbos. Meaning, I can't rent something out just for Shabbos because it's a gzeira atu mekachum imkar. If I rent you my car for Shabbos, I use my car during the weekdays. I have a goyish neighbor. I can't rent my goyish neighbor my car for Shabbos because I'm not going to do business then. But Skar Shabbos is the mudur b'havla. If I say I'm going to rent it to you from Friday at 12 o'clock till Motzei Shabbos at 9 o'clock, so I'm not renting just for Shabbos. I'm renting him also for Friday and also for Shabbos, and that's Skar Shabbos b'havla. That's mudur. So these are just concepts which you're familiar with. They're going to be mentioned here in the siman. Fine. So that's, I think, pretty much the basic. And just one last akdama is that some of the things that are mutter here, we don't do. Because there's always this tension the post can have between what's actually mutter according to the letter of the law and what's going to make Shabbos into a weekday. If every time, every Friday, I sell my business to a guy, so then what do you mean? We're Shabbos. You know? So at the same time, if the alternative is I'm going to be in my business working on Shabbos, so the rabbi's going to say, listen, don't go to work on Shabbos. I'll write you a Shar Mechira. And a guy will work for you and you'll get the profits and we'll do it in a mutter way. So there seems to be this tension. Don't forget, in our day and age, most people are very affluent, relatively speaking. 100 years ago, most people were very poor. So there was this tension that if you didn't work on Shabbos, you're not gonna make a living. I was just married. I was in New Jersey. I was there with my wife. We wanted to go to the store. And the seller's woman saw that I was from Eretz Yisrael. She starts talking to me in Hebrew. So she's an Israeli. And then she starts telling us that she feels so bad that she keeps her business open on Shabbos. And she feels like she's like a Masorati, like not, you know, but like she would never think of doing it in Israel. But in America, like, you know, like the most business is on Shabbos. Like she 50% of her income is from Saturday. And she would close the store. She wouldn't make a living. So she was like telling us to me, so I didn't really know what to say. So my wife, it says, you remember the mashal from the Chofetz Chaim, that it's like a barrel, that, you know, no matter how many spouts you have, what's inside is going to come out. We mentioned before, calls the Menosah of Shalad of Ksumimel V'Yerushan V'Roshana. So she told her that mashal. I don't know if that's what we wanted to hear. I wasn't sure why she was telling this to me. Like, she was trying to tell me, like, you know, she knows Usher? Like, she knew it's Usher. Like, she was trying to tell me it's okay. I'm looking to tell her it's okay. So, like, I wasn't sure what she was saying. So my wife had this mashal to give you a little chizuk that you could try to close your door. Anyway. But Lemaisa, for people like that, some of the Heterim that we're going to mention are really more relevant. For regular people who are committed, who in most businesses you can function not working on Saturday. You know, it depends on the business, but I assume there are some things that you know, if you have your own ski resort. So when people ski over the weekends. So you're only going to be open, you know, Sunday to Friday. You're going to go out of business. So maybe you shouldn't go into that business. But let's say you're already in the business. So you own a ski resort. So what do you do? So yeah, you do a shar mechira to sell the whatever. We'll see soon. Okay. This is a general issue with haramas. We try to avoid haramas. You know, we're holding Erev Matzei Shvis, Prusbul, so is that haram is pretty much accepted. People say the haram of Heter Mechira, the haram of Mechira's Chametz, there's some, it really depends, the whole sugi, you know, which haramas do we endorse and which haramas do we shy away from. Part of the question is who made the haramas. I mean, Hillel HaZaken made Prusbul. This is something that's later, okay. Mechira's Chametz also, the original Mechira was somebody was on a boat, the original Malil was on a boat, if I remember correctly, he was stuck. You know, it doesn't mean that I have a box of Cheerios and I don't want to get rid of it. So that's the question, to what extent, how it develops, and could maybe now it's different, it's already Mekubal for 1,000 years, people are selling Chametz, maybe it's okay, and there are different approaches. I'm not going to get into it all right now, but I just mentioned that this is a tension people, the post can have, what's mutter, and then what's advisable. Not everything that's mutter is advisable. So let's begin reading now the Shulchan Aruch here in Sif Aleph. We ask about the Merchas Shalom in Yehudi. You shouldn't rent your bathhouse to a guy. It's not Merchas Lav al Risusa. Perish Ari so Ovid Lika Chelak Mena Sheyashpiach Ma'alev Ovid. For Amish call a Revach Shal Yisrael. So fundamentally, just to step back. If I own property and I rent it out, I own a storefront and I rent it out to a guy, can the guy open the store on Shabbos? So I would say, of course, because everybody knows that it's not my store. I rented out the store to a guy. The problem is that it seems that in the times of Chazal, not everything was rented out. Sometimes people wouldn't rent things out. They would always just have a worker working for them. So, take for example the storefront. Let's say it says, I'm Mr. Schwartz, and I have a store, and I want to retire. So, I don't want to sell the store, I want to rent it out. I rent it out to Chris. Now, Chris is going to open up Schwartz's, you know, appliance store on Shabbos. Now, everybody thinks, who owns Schwartz's appliance store? Schwartz. So, we have a Maris Ayin issue. So, even if you rent it out, there's a Maris Ayin issue. That's how the Shulchan Aruch begins, that even if you rent out something, if people think it's owned by a Jew, there's still a problem, Marzan. If it's something that nobody rents out, excuse me, if it's something that's done by Arisus, that the people always work on commission, then it's mutter. Because then everybody knows that the worker isn't a worker getting paid by the hour, a shaliach of the Jew. Rather, the worker is an independent, it's like a franchise. He's an independent Baal Bayis, and he's making his own living, and he's paying commission to the guy who owns the property. That would be mutter. So in time of Chazal, there was a distinction between a merchatz and a sada. A sada people would often give to the sharecroppers and they would work on commission, and that's mutter. As opposed to a merchatz, where people usually held on to their own merchatz and they hired workers. So even if you didn't, you actually rented it out, it's still aser mishum marisayin, just like Mr. Schwartz's store. That's usher to remain open, even if you rented the storefront to Mr. to Chris, because it says Schwartz's hardware, and it looks like, unless it's before some, we're going to see soon. Okay, so it's a little complicated. But let's read it again, and we'll try to understand. You shouldn't rent your bathhouse to a guy. They should nikra al shmo, because it's called, you know, Schwartz's bathhouse. Anybody said. And the guy is going to turn on the lights and heat up the water. In time Chazal, people wouldn't give out the merchatz and have the guy manage it and make his own profits, and, you know, as an independent franchise. For Amri, Shekola Revach Shal Yisrael, people are going to say the Jew is making the money and this guy is just a worker. The guy is getting paid by the day. Then it's like shlichus of Israel. So just like I can't open my business and have the non-Jewish manager work there because he's working for me. So too in this case, it looks like it's a non-Jewish manager. The derech was that people would give the sadeh. It's your field, meaning it's my field, but you work on it. You make 50% of the profits. So then the goy is working out das atzma. Even though I'm making profits, that's okay. There's no issur to make profit on Shabbos so long as the goy is doing it out das atzma. So in the field, everybody knows that this was Yankee's field. But Aval Pichay is mother because the derech was to give a field by Risus. The Tanner of Dinah Kamerchah, the Tanner people don't generally give a Risus. Even though the guy is only going to make a third or a quarter, he's not making the lion's share, he's not the majority of the profits. It's mutter. So some of the folks you want to say, listen, I can pay my workers. I have a store open. I'll pay my workers by the hour. But I'll give them a Shabbos, a 5% commission. So some folks are going to say that's munaf. That's mutter. Because once they're making some commission, even though they're also making, today it's very uncommon that people work just on commission. Because nobody wants to be stuck. If they don't sell anything, they'll be stuck. So many workers work with a base salary, and they also get a commission. So there are some folks who want to say that if that's the case, if they're making a commission, they can open the store up and work. I'm not allowed to go in, I can't be involved, because then it's all directed to nafshi. But others say, no, that, if he has a base salary, so really he's a sachir, then he's your shaliach. The fact that he makes a 5% commission, he makes a commission on certain sales, that's not enough. That's a question of what you need. Again, we shy away from opening stores on Shabbos. It's obvious. But the question is, what's mutter b'ikra dinin? And sometimes you have a situation where Bali Tshuva, Rav Shtrumbuch, who's not known to be a big mekel, has a tshuva, and somebody told me, I didn't see it inside, but he writes that, it's a terrible thing to write Shtar Mechira. We'll start to hear something else. We're going to get to it soon. But, this guy's about Shuva, and if I don't do it, he's going to work on Shabbos. So, even the most machmirim recognize you have to deal with the reality sometimes. Fine. So, we haven't got the Shabbos Mechir yet. We're at this point still working with Arisos versus Schiros. If the guy's getting paid by the hour, it's Aser. If he's independent and he's getting profits, even though I'm also getting profits, it's Mutter. And then we have this Gzeira Drabanan, which is kind of odd, because usually you don't make a gzeira drabanan on an iser drabanan. But you have a gzeira drabanan that even if you rented the merchatz, he still shouldn't open it because everybody knows it's my merchatz, it's Jewish merchatz, and it looks like he's my worker, even though he's not my worker. He's really working on commission. Al-Bichin, it's Aser. Seems like iser Shabbos is so chomer, we were gozer maris ayin on iser drabanan. This is essentially a case of maris ayin on iser drabanan. Why is it maris ayin? People think
it's you.
I'm not there. Chris opens the store. They're going to think that my deal with Chris is that he's working by the hour. It's not true. He's working by commission. But people are going to think it's maris ayin on iser drabanan. Amir lakum zol drabanan. Al pekin we answer it. Inyan and Shabbos are very chomer. Okay. Questions? Yeah.
Oh. Want to buy stuff, they were kind of dictating the hours of his shop as it works.
So right. So that's a very important question. We'll get to that too. Do you, you have a, this is our new question. The person has a candy machine, a soda machine. So the soda machine is 24 hours, 24/7. Somebody comes and puts money in on Shabbos. Is that your problem? That's not exactly what you're saying. You're saying if somebody managing your site for you, or it's a very good question, it's very relevant. In some sites, people place an order, and then Monday morning, the thing is shipped out. It's not immediate. Obviously, the people who want, Prime, everything has to be shipped within 24 hours, so when they send the email, when they press buy, they buy it. And then 10 minutes later, it's already, on the UPS or whatever it is. So that's, more problematic. So if you have a site, and you have non-Jewish workers working there, it depends how you pay them. If you pay them by the hour to a standard, that's prohibited. If they are getting paid by commission, then it would be permissible, luchara. Now, additionally, what they do is they do a shtar mechira. I have over here, and Mishra Berurah mentioned it later, but since you already asked, I'll read it to you. This is a shtar that Rabbi Benash wrote for somebody who asked him, a fellow that he knows purchased a port in England, believe it or not, a small little port, and he wanted to develop it, to have some tourism, and to have this and that. And then he realized, oh, Taka, I'm a Jew, and there's Shabbos, and all my workers are working on Shabbos. How can I do this? So this is the, I'll read you the Lashon, contract between X, the leaser, and Y, the lessee. Jewish holidays refer to all Shabbat and biblical holidays, including second day of holidays, observed in the diaspora, etc., Chol HaMoed. 2 hours before and after each Shabbat or holiday, the business refers to the corporation of X. So the reason he's buying it and selling it 2 hours is Skar Shabbos. He wants to have a situation where it's Havla. I can't just sell it to you for Shabbos because then I'm taking Skar Shabbos. I'm selling it 2 hours before Shabbos and 2 hours after Shabbos. The leaser Hebrew leases the business to the lessee for all Jewish holidays between the date of signing the contract and December 31st. The lessee will be solely responsible for the management of the business during the period and all direct and indirect expenses. In addition, all employees of, and any contractors who provide service to the business will be deemed to be working for the lessee. So I'm no longer in charge. Chris, he owns it. He's renting the whole thing for me. It's now his business. The lessee will be entitled to retain all income. He's going to make all the profits earned by the business during the period of the lease. And he'll pay the sum of X annually for as rent. So he's going to make all the profits and pay rent. But now, we don't actually have to go through this business. I also don't want to sell. I don't actually want to give him all the profits for Shabbos. So what do I do? Here. The rent shall be payable each calendar month, etc. Because it may be difficult to determine the amount of income earned and expenses incurred during the period of the lease on every Shabbos and Yontif, it's agreed the lessee relies on the leaser to calculate the amount of income. I'm going to decide. I'm the Baal Bais. I'm going to decide how much I'm the Baal Bais for 6 days a week. I'm going to decide how much he actually earned. How much, I mean, I'm going to end the year, I have a tax, report. And I'm going to say, well, 90% is weekdays, 10% is Shabbos, let's say. Okay. Probably 15% is Shabbos, whatever. But I'll be able to use whatever method I want, including estimations. It's agreed that the leaser will undertake to submit a written request to the leaser to calculate the income expenses for the calendar month by 10 a.m. on the first of the following calendar month. And then it'll deem that the net profit attributed to the period of the lease during that month equals the rent owed for that month. Basically, it's like a huge harama that he's paying me $1,000 for every Shabbos rent, and he gets all the income. I have to figure out what the income is. But it's very hard to figure out what the income is. So if I can't really figure out, I'm just going to assume that it's going to be $1,000, the amount that he... So it's a wash. He pays $1,000 rent, and he's supposed to get $1,000 income, but I'm not going to give him $1,000, because I'm just, instead of collecting the rent and giving him the income, we just call it even. And then they write, this contract will be automatically renewed at the beginning of each calendar year under the same terms, unless one party informs the other in writing before the beginning of the calendar year they do not wish to renew the contract. So basically, this is a halachic mechanism whereby the Jew effectively, quote-unquote, sells his business, or here, rents his business to the goy. Now it's the goy's business. Everything involved is the goy's. And he pays rent. And then he's supposed to get the income. But I'll figure out the income to be exactly commensurate to the rent, and then it's a wash, and then Shalom Yisrael. So this is something we try not to do. This person that contacted Rabbi Nash already did it. He already owned the company. He realized he has a problem. So then he was stuck. So they drew up this shtar mikir. It has to be done properly. You need a person who knows Kosher Mishpat, and it has to be formulated halachically.
Is the cheshbon of hefsid come into this?
Theoretically, what could happen is that you lost a lot of money. So I can say, listen, you said you're going to give me $1,000 rent. If you only made $500 income, so now you owe me $500. It's not a wash. But usually, the person who you're doing, he's signing it for you, he's doing it for you a favor. He basically, see, you're not going to start up with him. Meaning, he could theoretically start up with you, but you wrote in the contract that you have the right to determine the amount. And since it's complicated, you have the right to estimate. And your estimate happens to be, by chance, the exact value of the rent. So it all works out.
I mean, more that sometimes we, again, not knowing a lot about law, sometimes you hear that something is allowed because of hefset.
Oh, of course this is mutter. This is certainly because of Hesem Ruv. The idea is that if the Jew would have to close up his business on Shabbos, like the story I told you about the woman in Jersey. She said, I think 80%, whether 50% of her income is on Shabbos. So if she would close...
Do you remember what that store was?
It was a clothing store, linen store. People show shopping on Shabbos. I don't know. That's what she said. I don't know. So if that's the reality, look at the ski lodge is a good example, meaning how many people go skiing in the middle of the week? You leave for 2 weeks in winter. Most of the ski business is on Shabbos and Sunday. If you have that situation, now you could tell people, okay, don't be going to that business. The question is, if he already is in the business, what do you do? So this is something that you could do to allow it. Now, there's more of a hat there when it's in the middle of nowhere, and there are no Jews, and it doesn't say, you know, Schwartz's Ski Lodge, it just says Ski Lodge, you know what I'm saying? So in terms of Marzayin and the Kavod Shabbos, part of the Cheshbon is, even if it works halakhically, is it the right thing to do? So the minute it's in the middle of nowhere, it's out of the Tchum, there are no Jews there, it's less of a Kavod Shabbos issue. It's still discouraged, but it's less of an issue. So, at the end of the day, Jews rent all sorts of things. You rent storefronts, not a problem. You can rent a car. Maybe a Jew's going to rent a car. Hey, you can rent a car from Avis. He doesn't have to rent from Schwartz. So it's not Lifnivir Doraisa, but it's still Messiah. You're still helping him. Now, you don't really know who's a Jew. You really know, but it's in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, most people are Jewish. Can I have a car rental in Eretz Yisrael? So I'm not telling him to drive in Shabbos. He's renting it for the week. You know, it could be he'll drive, it could be he won't drive. So, but it's Messiah. If it's not Lifnivir, maybe it's Messiah. So there is a shach that says that if I Yisrael Mumur, there's no Messiah. So we don't generally try to rely on that, but the mice we do rely on it. Meaning, it happens all the time. A person is a secretary, and their boss says, book me a flight, you know, leaving on Saturday. The boss is Jewish. So can the Jew from secretary book the flight? So it's not Lifnivir Doraisa, because he can get somebody else to book a flight. It's Messiah. And this person is going to fly anyway. So we assume like a shock. There's no Messiah by Yisrael Mumur, and we're making it. It's not the glot. Pardon?
Darwin Morvalva over there says that Mumar there just means the meter. That's how you're talking, that it could be a Mumar. That we're talking only a Mumar. Anyone who does it in a Vera, the meter,
right.
It applies. So you don't have to meet at the threshold. We don't mean Mumar.
Right. It doesn't mean it has to be a Mumar. This is a Vera, right, 100%. 100%. Thank you. So let's say I have a Monit, and I want to drive it on the weekdays, and on Shabbos, there's a guy who wants to take the Monit and use it. It's very common. People don't want their car just to sit, they want the car to be used. So since you're not paying him to drive your car, he's going to rent the car from you. So then you're allowed to let him, he's going to say, or even if he doesn't rent it, let's say he says, I'm going to keep 50% of the profits. So then you're allowed to let him use the car. And sometimes in the Monit it says on the side, like the name of the driver. So it says Mr. Goldman, so maybe you should like cover that. It shouldn't be, you know, it shouldn't look like it's, he's your driver. You're paying him by the
hour. And he has to take up before Shabbos, like 2 hours before Shabbos?
In terms of the Havlah, you can't just have him pick it up a minute before, right? 100%. Anyway, Havlah can be a few minutes. It doesn't have to be, you know. He shouldn't come on Shabbos and take your car off your driveway.
Back out of your driveway.
Back out of your driveway on Shabbos, exactly. Yeah, 100%. As you mentioned, that if you own stocks, so the title of stocks is real ownership. So some people say stocks isn't real ownership. But even if you hold stocks, is really I own Ramesh like 1.008 of IBM. Showing. Probably a millionaire. Whatever, I own something. I own a certain percentage of a company. The company's open on Shabbos. So I think there too, we assume it's a daita d'nafshe, right? Even if the workers there are working being paid by the hour, we still, and I own part of it, the people calling the shots are like the CEO. He's paying them by the hour, meaning I'm not paying them in hours. So I think we assume that it's mutter to own stocks in a Goyish company, even if the company is owned. Shabbos has to work out exactly the cheshbon. Why that's so. Okay. Let's see if we just see Bayes. Afilu merachat sotanu or yiskirim l'shana achar shana. So even though we said in Sif Aleph that a merachat sotanu is asur, because there's this Maris Ayin issue, there are a couple of exceptions where there's no Maris Ayin. So it says Shulchan Aruch, yiskirim shana achar shana. Yisparsim davar adesha indar kaliskor po'alim ele askirim. You know, Schwartz's hardware store has been opened for like, you know, 5 years. Chris has been renting it. So everybody knows that Chris is the guy who's renting the store. V'chein im minag rov anshei hamakom laskiram olitnam barisus mutu laskiram in Yehudi olitnam barisus. So if most people there work on commission, and you don't have people working for you, so then it's already not a marisayin problem. Afilu makom asur im in merchas tano shal Yisrael rak yisachar in Yehudi v'chazu v'skiram in Yehudi. If you rent it from a guy and then right away rent it to another guy, meaning a Jew rents from a guy and then, you know, that's how Jews make money, right? The middleman. You rent from one guy and you rent it to another guy, right? Shari, the ancient Yisrael Nikrav, nobody knows you're the middleman. So nobody knows you're the middleman. You know, they think it's the, you know, it belongs to the other person. It's a private place where nobody from the outside is coming. Basically, the upshot of all these examples are a situation where there's no marisayin, because it's known that it belongs to the guy. Meaning, what do you mean belongs to the guy? You own it, but it's known that the guy is working barisus, so he's working for himself. But that's mashari. The Mishmur explains that if you would, it's really a function of the case. That if it's a case of Maris Ayin, so then really it's Skara Mutter. And if it's a case where it's really Usser, like I really own a business and I have a guy working for me by the hour, then the Skara is Usser, that's Skara Shavis. I'm not allowed to take the gains. I'm not allowed to use the gains. It's Usser Bana. What does it mean it's Usser Bana? What do you do with it? So the Pasha says you shouldn't collect it. You shouldn't collect the money. If you already have it, Mishmur points out later in Rishon, hey, that it's mutter. Questions? There are a lot of details here. We went through a lot, but if you try to go over it, if you have questions, you can happy to try to clarify. But I guess we'll call it a day.